And we've been spending this season of Advent in the Old Testament with Isaiah, and we're going to continue on this fourth Sunday of Advent with Isaiah one more time. Isaiah has been promising this future for the people of God of a king that is coming, that's going to make things new, create a new kingdom and a hopeful place. And today we're going to pick up in Isaiah chapter 40. And Isaiah chapter 40 happens after the events that Isaiah prophesied last time happens. The tree is cut down. It's at a stump. The kingdom has been lost. And the people of God have lost their identity to a large degree. They've lost their land. And they're looking to God for answers. They are longing and they're waiting for God to do something. If you've ever been in a season where you were just waiting, there's literally nothing you could do. You just had to wait for God to do something. This passage is for you today. And Isaiah speaks God's words and gives them a word of hope and comfort for their future today. We've already heard a few times today, today's theme is love. And so our idea for today is that God's love is shown in his proximity to his people. That God's love is shown, that he is near to us. He comes to us. He meets us where we're at and leads and guides us through it all. So we've heard the passage read once already. We'll hear it a little bit more this morning. A reminder again, this is God speaking to his people who have experienced a loss that they feared would come true. The anxiety and the troubles and the hurt they've been feeling, they've lost what they valued. They're looking to God for answers. Help us, God, in this moment. Help us, God. And so God begins with this tender word for his people in verses 1 and 2. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Though you feel isolated, though you feel alone, though you feel though you're in uncharted territory, a place you've never been before, the God who made you and loves you comes with his tender comfort for you. God says, yes, all the things I said would happen, they've happened. The unthinkable has happened among you. But I've not left you. I have not forsaken you. I come alongside you with my comfort and my tender love. And not only will I comfort you, I am ready to deliver you from this present moment. And he goes on, a voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill be made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And here's this desert imagery again from last week, the last little bit we've been talking about that we're living in this desert time, this time of emptiness and struggle, and God says, no, I'm going to reveal myself to you in a powerful way, in a new way. And for that to happen, you have one job, you have one responsibility. I'm going to do the work, God says, but here's one thing I want you to do. Prepare. Prepare to hear from me. Prepare to experience me. Prepare for me to come in your midst. We're usually really bad at preparing. We're not a very good preparing people. And this season is a great reminder for us. Just go to the mall on December 23rd and 24th. Right? And you'll see all the people who did not prepare, which may be some of you, going in. I see some people looking at their spouses, and you know it happens, right? You're going there on those days, and you see all the people who didn't prepare. Hey, we got to get gifts. We got to do this. We got to do that. But we're also not great at preparing to see God sometimes. You know, we kind of go about our days sort of mindlessly, sort of in a hurry, sort of rushing from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. Are we preparing to see God in the midst of people? When I go to the store, am I preparing in a way to see God in the people who are shopping there? When I pick up my kid from practice, am I preparing a way for God to do something as I talk to the other parents there? Am I looking for these little opportunities to prepare my life to see God speak to me and through me to others or through others in my life? Prepare the way, he says. I'm going to show up. I want you to prepare the way for me to be there in your midst. And that's what he calls us to do. Verse 6, it acts as a transition, and it says, cry out. And they say, well, what do you want me to say? And God says, there's two things I want you to cry out this morning, two things I want you to say. And the first one is verses 6 and 8. All people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Again, he's using symbolic imagery of this, of flowers and grass in the desert, which wither and fade as a hot wind blows on them. So the people have learned that trust in their flesh and trust in their prosperity is also short-lived. They've tried and they failed, and now they're turning back to God for help in this moment. It's kind of like when you have kids or grandkids or nieces or nephew, or if you remember when you yourself were a kid, maybe you felt invincible. Anyone feeling invincible when you're a little kid? You thought, I can jump off that swing, no problem, and not hurt myself. I can climb on those monkey bars, no problem. I can do all these things, I just feel invincible. Anyone remember those days of feeling invincible as a kid? Yes. Now, not so much, right? Now I sleep wrong, I wake up, and it's like a hard day, right? That's problems. Your back hurts. It's like a kid, they go on the monkey bars, they climb up on the top, and they say, hey, mom, hey, dad, watch this. I'm going to jump off the monkey bars, I'm going to do a couple flips, I'm going to jump over to this thing, and then I'm going to land on the ground, no problem. And as a parent, you kind of go, okay, go ahead, right, try it. Let's see what happens. Or you try and talk your kids out of it, but we gave up on that a long time ago, right? You're not going to talk them out of that. And they jump and they do the flip and they do all this and they land, and what happens? They skin their knee. And they say, oh, I guess I wasn't invincible after all. Mom, dad, help me, I'm crying here. My knee hurts, my shoulder hurts, my hand hurts. The people of God, they felt invincible in this moment. Look how big our country is. Don't you see how much prosperity we have? Don't you see nothing could happen to us? And then they saw their money and their possessions and their power and their prestige get chopped down. They're like a grass that withers and flowers that fall. It's temporary. It will not endure. But one thing does endure, the word of God. God's faithful word withstands deserts and droughts and storms and anything else that comes into our life. God endures these things. So come and rebuild. Rebuild on a better foundation. Rebuild on something that endures. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. God says, my people have turned to the left and my people have turned to the right, but by my faithfulness, I will never leave my people. I will stand by my people. I will walk with my people wherever they go. So the first word that God says to cry out is, cry this out, that though things have fallen apart, I am with you. I am with you. I will never leave you. And the second thing to cry out is verses 9 and 10. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. The second call is to go declare. Go tell it on a mountain. Go to the high places and let everyone know that Jesus is Lord, that God is coming. Here is your God. He is not far away. He is here. He is with you. He is close. Not in some other land that you cannot attain, not in some other reality. He is here. Go up to a high mountain. Shout in a loud voice. Go out to where the most number of people can hear you. Declare that God is here, that God is with you. Emmanuel, God with us. So I like practicing what I preach, so we're going to do that this morning real quick. It's always important to preach something and then actually do it. So I need to grab something from here real quick. Hopefully the microphone still works. I'm going to grab a ladder real quick here. We're going to go up to a high place in a moment. And we're going to declare in a high voice from a high place. Ooh, a little squeaky. Ready? Okay. We're going up high. Hello. Go up to the mountains. Go up to the high places. Declare that your God is near. Your God is here. He is with you. Can you hear me okay? Can you see me? Let's declare that God is here. Here is your God. He has come with power. Here is your God. He has come with his glory. Here is your God. He has come to shepherd you and to guide you. Here is your God. He has come to gather you tenderly in his arms. Here is your God. He's come to keep you close to his heart. Here is your God. He's come to care for the vulnerable in your midst. It's God's faithful love that is here, that is with us, that is now, that is present. And Advent is a great time to remember that. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. Here is your God. He is near. He is near. I'm going to get down from here before I fall into a table of fire. Okay, so that'd be a fun Advent right there. Well, we'll fold this up later. If you want to try standing in a high place, you can do that later over here too. So all this declaring, all this shouting, it leads to our last verse, verse 11, this image of intimate closeness. He, God, tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Four verbs that describe God's intimate, close, and careful love for his people. He tends to his flock. This is a word that describes food imagery. And so he feeds us. He makes sure he provides for us each and every day. Each and every day, just what we need, as a shepherd cares for his flock. He gathers, he collects the sheep into his arms. No one will feel isolated. There's no loneliness. No one is separated. He gathers you together as sheep. He carries, the idea of carrying a burden, right? He carries our burdens with us. God is with us in those moments of hurt and pain. And he leads. And leads is an interesting word here because this word here, the translation of this, the connotation of this is not what you would think. It's not like, hey, follow me, I'm in front of you, come on, I'm leading the way. The word translates to leading slowly with you. And so the image here is not that God's in front of us and like pulling us along and saying, hey, come here, you stubborn sheep, you got to come with me. The image here is that God is next to the sheep as the shepherd with his arm on the sheep and saying, hey, we're going this way. And I know you're not ready to walk at my pace, but we'll go at your pace, and we'll go together. I'm going to lead you where you need to go. It's this beautiful image, I think, one of the most beautiful images of God in the Scripture, that he comes with us, alongside us, and walks with us at our pace. And he leads us where we need to go, not dragging against our will, but gently as a good shepherd, lovingly alongside us. And all of these four verbs, they give us a picture of a God who is not far away, but a God who is near with us. He's come close to us, who lovingly walks with us through our wilderness, through our desert, through our struggles, and leads us into better places. So the message of Advent is Isaiah 40. Here is your God, Emmanuel, God with us. The message of Advent this Christmas season is that God has made a way to come to us because of his faithfulness, so that we can have life with him. And this way is through his son, Jesus, whose birth is imminent. It's almost here. And Jesus himself picks up this shepherd language of Isaiah in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flocks and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. See, Jesus, he tends to his flock. He does not abandon them when difficult times come. He stays with his flock. He stays with us. He gathers his flock, both Jew and Gentile, all people, all of us different, all of us different stories, all of us different backgrounds. He gathers us together in his arms as one body together in him. He carries his flock. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. We know his voice and he knows ours. And he leads his flock. He says, I'll bring them along. They come with me. They follow me. I walk with them in the midst of everything. But Jesus adds one word that's not there in Isaiah. He says, I lay down my life for my sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep. We're a few days away from celebrating the birth of Jesus, and the birth is a miracle. The birth is exciting. The birth is hopeful. And the birth is a beginning. Jesus grows up and becomes the shepherd of all people. The shepherd of the forgotten ones who sit on the street corners, the shepherd of the lonely ones who feel despair and hurt, the shepherd of anxious ones who are looking for something better, the shepherd of hopeful ones who are waiting to sit with Jesus. The good shepherd comes to flip the world on its head. showing a new way to relate with God and to be with God. But some people in power, they didn't like that. And so they put our sinless good shepherd on the cross, and they crucified him. But death and evil do not have the final word. God the Father raises our good shepherd back from the dead and gives him victory over death. And Jesus' new kingdom begins. Not a kingdom of this world, but a kingdom marked with Jesus as a king who promises eternal life, resurrection from the dead for those who confess and follow. And that's the good news. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Maybe you're hearing that for the first time or the millionth time. Maybe you just need to hear it again, that the Good Shepherd is risen from the dead. He is alive. He's conquered death, and he comes in victory. Maybe you're here today, you're not sure you believe that. Maybe you're not sure what's happening. Maybe you're just stepping into church because you want to find a new way to try and connect with God. Well, there's a hopeful message for you as well. Our Good Shepherd comes alongside you wherever you are at, wherever that might be, puts his arm around you and says, come on, let's walk together. I'm going to lead you where you need to go, and I'll walk at your pace. I won't push you. I won't drag you. I'll walk with you in the midst of all of your questions and all the things you're wondering. God's love is shown in his proximity to his people. He is close to us. He is near, not far away. And he walks with you as you go. Here is your God, sovereign and full of power, ruling with a mighty arm. Praise be to our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you.